Hello and welcome to another edition of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Be sure to subscribe to OTG on iTunes. Also, give us a follow on Twitter at OTGBasketball. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me today, Harris Wishard, OTG writer, Matthew Handel. What's popping, guys?
Well, Nick, it's good to be back talking with you guys. Long break, but all that's important is I'm back and I'm ready.
Yep. Always good to have Matthew with us. You know, Martin Luther King Day today. Nice, you know, we have Christmas as a nice basketball tradition, but the NBA also does a great job on Martin Luther King Day, remembering somebody who's had a great impact on not only the African American community but all of us. And you know, it's a great holiday also for basketball. We got the NBA Finals rematch today. The Knicks play at the Garden, so always great to recognize all races coming together, especially in the sport of basketball.
Yeah, it's a great day, great way to celebrate with a ton of basketball. I'm still riding high right now.
Oh yeah,
my Packers came through last night. Aaron Rodgers putting on a performance. On to Atlanta. Just had to get that in there real quick before we talk some NBA.
Yeah, and
basketball.
I wanted to point out that you know, you hear it all. You know, you got everybody on First Take today, ESPN Radio. Everybody talking about Rodgers. This, he's a bad man. I don't know. Just Stephen A. Smith screaming, "He's a bad man." Always like comes up in my head when Rodgers makes a play like that, but. I don't know, that 3rd and 20, man, was – I think that's as clutch of a play as you'll see in that situation. I mean, and you tweeted it out, Nick, that, you know, he's probably the only guy in the league that can make that throw. And you're probably right. I just – you know, with everything just set up for failure for the Cowboys. Once that spike happened, I looked at my dad. I was watching with him, and I said, do they not know who's on the sideline over there? Or,
yeah,
they
exactly.
They just were playing that strange down the stretch. And, you know, Rodgers, it looks like, you know, is going to – you know, take a knee and go into overtime, but on the 3rd and 20, miraculous play.
State Farm's loving it because it's discount double check all the way to Super Bowl, really.
Well, we still got to beat Atlanta, Matt. Don't jump the gun yet. But I'm feeling good.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun and enjoy the ride again because you never know how many you there are some tough breaks and you know there's no guarantees here. So Fay will, as the Nets are 8-32, will enjoy. The highs and lows of being a sports fan, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is off basketball, off NFL, but I always believe if you like multiple teams, for your one team to have real success, the other one has to have real failure. So the roles might switch in a few years.
Boston like 5 years ago.
Yeah, but most of the time that's how it rolls out. But on to the NBA, a team that's been failing for a while, but it's finally starting to give their fans some hope, and that's the Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid has them 5-5 in their last 10. You know, they have some exciting wins. TJ McConnell hit that game buzzer beater against the Knicks last week. What do you guys think of the Sixers? And, you know, they don't even have Ben Simmons yet.
Yeah, and I think you touched on it right there. Ben Simmons, you know, coming into the beginning of the year, it was like everyone was excited for him to play, and myself included, I was like, you know, they're getting Ben Simmons. You know, things are going to start going up. He gets hurt, and I think – at first, the city was probably like, okay, here we go again. And I think Joel Embiid had like a lot of like high hopes going in, but I don't think anyone knew that he was going to be just beasting like this. And they also had a 3-game win streak recently. Like, yeah. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but for the Sixers, you got to take anything you can get.
They have more wins than last season already.
Yeah, and I was like looking.
Is that really? Really?
Yeah. The last four seasons, they haven't broke 20, and I have high hopes that they'll break 20.
I think they will.
8 games rest of the year, but so baby steps for sure. But I mean, if you just looked at the 12-26, you're like, okay, not a good record. But like the moments you brought up, you got to be happy about something at this point as a Sixers fan.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a lot of growth this year. And Embiid, me and Harris have talked about this a lot. Not only is he a dominant player on the court, but his personality.
Mm-hmm.
It gives him something else. It gives him that leadership. You know, he said playoffs. Like, nobody in the Sixers we've heard in, like, the last 5 years have been talking playoffs. But he really believes it, and he really gives this team some hope and something exciting and something to look forward to. And it looks like he's going to be one of the best centers in the NBA going forward over the next few seasons.
Yeah, there's certain guys that I just feel like inject life into an organization. And I think this is one of those situations that, you know, desperately called for. You know, he's not a true rookie, but he will win Rookie of the Year. And he's just done such a nice job. I think even in the minutes restriction, guys, he's on a 25 to 28 minute restriction. You know, when this guy settles in and you know, he kind of, his body, you could see why he has some foot issues. And you guys all know a 7-footer that complains about his feet all the time. But, you know, this, he kind of moves around like he could suffer. Yeah. I don't know whether it's like, he was out with like a foot injury for a while last year. But
yeah, it's just a lot of pressure on your feet.
Yeah, I'm just hoping a lot of weight. Healthy. Yeah. But I feel like I got to give props to Embiid because the fact that, like, I think if you were on a terrible team like that and you just saw that culture for so long, it'd be easy to just be like, I'm just going to collect my check, have a couple good games. But like you said, he brings so much energy and like he gives the fans something to like actually want to go to the game and see. So I just love that from Embiid. Like, you know, it'd be easy just to be like, yeah, another game, whatever. But like he gets the fans pumped up. Like he's got that character about him.
Yeah, and Harris mentioned he's only playing 25 minutes a game, you know, averaging 25 a night. He's averaging 19 points a game, 7 rebounds a game, over 2 blocks a game, 2 assists a game, and he's shooting 34% from three-point land. So when he plays, you know, big minutes, actually one of our writers, Jonathan Ibrahim, just wrote an article about Embiid comparing his rookie season to some of the all-time greats. And, you know, when he put the numbers in per 36, he really was riding with them. So I could see Embiid really having an impact. And we touched on Ben Simmons comes back. The Sixers team will be fun to watch.
Yeah, not to mention he's doing all of this with very limited pieces.
Like they have some
they
bad
don't have
players.
Anything really. So get Simmons back, pick up like a couple just decent to, you know, pretty good players. And, you know, that's only going to help Embiid get better.
I think something we also touched on in the preview series is that they will probably move either Noel or Okafor also to
Okafor
give them some.
Has been his look so like he's not getting playing time. He's banged
they have
up
to or, move one of them. They have to at this point.
Yeah,
and then Noel wasn't getting any playing time. He was complaining about his role. Now Noel's role is picked up. So the Sixers have to, you know, make this trade at the right time. They need to build up the value of one of these players and then move them because having a guy sit on the bench and not play and then complain and something, like, obviously you can't move that. Noel has to really fix his value if they're going to try to move.
Dare I say the Knicks got a break by Okafor not slipping to 4. I know, you know, it's one of those situations where, you know, environment and you never know and he could have thrived with the Okafor Porzingis, something that, you know, you're always going to link those two guys to. But is it too early to say that Okafor is, you know, obviously not maybe not lived up to his hype, but could he potentially be a bust going forward?
I mean, it's tough to say. You probably have to wait until his next situation, see how he does with another coach, another system, before I say he's a bust. Because his rookie season was still good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? He scored a lot of points. He started off really well. He had the injury, the whole fight in Boston thing. Then this whole situation with all these bigs isn't helping him. But I don't think
you definitely have to give him another shot.
I don't think he'll be a bust. I think he'll at least be a pretty good NBA player at the worst because he showed enough in last rookie season. But I think obviously Porzingis is miles and miles potential more than him.
Yeah.
But enough about the Sixers. We're talking Embiid. Embiid's been pretty funny on Twitter talking All-Star votes. So we're gonna give you guys our All-Star starters. And this year it's a little bit different. The fans only get 50% of the vote, players 25, media 25. So I'll start it off with my guys for the East. So for the East, I got Isaiah Thomas, DeMar DeRozan, Jimmy Butler, LeBron James, and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I got John Wall, Isaiah Thomas, LeBron, Giannis, and Kevin Love.
Harris, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm actually going to agree with Nick on this one. I think Isaiah Thomas and DeRozan both deserve starting spots, although I think Kyrie will be in there. I think it's going to be Isaiah. I think it should be Isaiah, especially the clutch factor.
The clutch fourth quarter performance is what did it for me.
Yeah, he's going to go over the top. I'd say Isaiah, DeMar, LeBron, the Greek freak, and Butler too. I think Butler is one of those like undeniable guys. Like he's gone to another level. So I don't think you could deny him that position this year. I think he's been a lot better than Love. I mean, I know he's not like a traditional small forward, but like we talked about before, that he is playing that position. He's been forced to play the forward position. But
I mean, for me, I thought it was a lock that LeBron, Butler, and Giannis were in. The guards were always hard because you could have definitely gone with John Wall like Matt went with, and you mentioned Kyrie as well. But like you said, I think Isaiah Thomas's fourth quarter, his clutch performance, you know, carrying that team late in the game. And then for the Raptors, DeMar DeRozan just started off at a ridiculous start, and he's been lethal from mid-range.
And another player that gets zero credit is Kyle Lowry.
Lowry. I was deciding between Lowry and DeRozan. I was going to go with one of the two. And just because of DeRozan's hot start. But Lowry is having a really, really good season, and he plays both ends of the floor, and he's a leader.
Very, very efficient when you look
at it. Well, there's two concrete guys I think that everybody could agree on, is that LeBron and the Greek Freaker are both locked in to be all-star starters.
How exciting is that going to be? Those two on the same team, it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be pretty fun. On to the West. The West was easier for me. I mean, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, and Kawhi Leonard.
I had very similar players, but I had Russ, James Harden, KD, DeMarcus Cousins, and Anthony Davis.
So you flopped. You took Cousins and
– You took Cousins over Kawhi.
Kawhi.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to reward Leonard here also. And this might be surprising for you guys to – for you guys to hear, but I agree. I don't think Steph should be an all-star starter.
Yeah.
It's too hard with the way that Harden and Russell Westbrook are playing.
Yeah, it's one of those, we got to reward both these guys. And I know we're going to touch on this too with the amount of, you know, you turn on SportsCenter today and you're bound to hear something about a triple-double. I feel like it doesn't even matter what sport they're talking about. I just think love that.
When they don't triple-double, like triple-doubles used to be like, rare. So, yeah, and now they're just like Russell Westbrook or James Harden didn't triple-double. Yeah. It's like it's crazy to think that a triple-double to these guys is like just everyday stuff. Like you take it for granted.
So that backcourt should be locked in. And I think Cousins also does deserve it. I would go with Davis, Cousins, and KD also. I agree. I think I know Kawhi Leonard has been fantastic too. That's a tough one, man, Leonard overcut.
And the Spurs are the number two in the West. That's why I feel like you have to give them a starter.
And I mean, like, the thing with Steph too, like, you're still going to be an all-star. Yeah, you're not going to be a starter, but, you know, he's still playing great. So it's not – he just ran into two of the best seasons, you know.
Yeah, it's a role thing too. We spoke about this last time. Yeah. You know, you got it. He's asked to play a different role. It's, you know, what's important to you at this time. It's just – it's just odd that a two-time MVP would go from, you know, I don't think his level of play has dipped as much as some people have made it out to be. But I think at this point, though, like, there are certain, like, you could argue, I think the arguments are, you know, Leonard over one of those bigs out in the East. You got some guards you could discuss. But, you know, Russ, Harden, LeBron, Greek Freak, these are guys that are having, you know, lights out seasons. We know LeBron.
Even Durant. Durant's having a really good season, too.
Yeah, that's
so efficient from the field.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, they're definitely, you know, the better arguments would be to me the reserve players, you know, who are gonna be those, you know, as we get close to the All-Star game we'll release our 6 to 12, because that to me is always interesting.
That's the tougher one, but that's where you have a lot of differences. The starters, you know, there's some guys that are definitely locks, but the reserves, that's when you have the difference of different opinions too.
Definitely.
I think about Steph too. I think that he doesn't mind. I think everyone else are the people that are blowing up, you know, him being a starter. I think he's loving taking less of a role and letting, you know, look at the team. They're tearing it up. Like, I saw the quote, they were asking him if he was worried about being the fourth highest paid player on the team.
Yeah.
He was like, if I'm complaining about 44 mil over 4 years, then like something in my life isn't right and I was just like, that's awesome because like you said, two-time MVP. Like most dudes, I think it'd be really tough to try to, you know, swallow that and be like, I'm getting this beast coming in KD, but he's done it perfectly in my mind. Yeah. And I don't know, I got to give him props for that.
Yeah, I think that's just how you create a culture. I mean, he mentioned about his dad, you know, saying that you don't talk about other people's money, but you look at the Spurs model and it's around the NBA, you know. I know we're getting off topic a little bit, but I think for him just to create that culture of unselfishness, you know, I know he did lead the league in scoring last year, but in order for that thing to work, you knew there were going to have to be guys taking, you know, significant cuts in their, you know, their offensive production, all-star games. And, you know, those individual accomplishment comes more with wins. Nick even pointed to it. The Spurs deserve a guy because of them being 31-9. And, you know, the more wins, those individual stuff will come. And, you know, he's already got a couple of, you know, MVP trophies and a ring. So I'm sure this is not something that he is really concerned about. And, you know, in his mind, he has to believe that he's better than Westbrook and Harden anyway to compete at the level he does. So I don't really think this is something he's concerned about.
And I mean, let's be honest. When we're 25 years from now, we're talking Steph Curry's legacy. We're going to look at those championship rings before we're talking about, oh, he was an all-star reserve that year. Oh, my God. Like,
he got snubbed. He should have been a starter.
Yeah, like I'm more worried about him getting a championship ring for his legacy than I am for, you know, him getting an all-star starter nod.
Speaking of all-stars, and I want to ask you guys this question. Is Eric Gordon an all-star?
Eric Gordon. I don't think so, but I would have to take a look and look at all of them. There's just so many great players in the West, especially in guard play. Like we just talked, with Steph and Clay aren't even in our starters, so that's already two spots right there.
Right.
Because what you get six? You get six on the bench? Yeah.
Seven.
Okay. Because, yeah. I mean, you got Damian.
Yeah.
You got Kawhi or Boogie. Either way, you flip that kind of. Draymond.
You got to get Mike Conley.
All the Warriors in there.
Mike Conley some love too
over
Gordon because he's been having a good season, even though I know that contract's ridiculous, but you still got to respect his play.
Yeah, you would think with 32 wins they could maybe.
And you still have that guy, what's his name, Chris Paul. He plays in the Clippers.
He'll be in for sure. He'll be in.
Yeah, so,
Lillard getting snubbed again?
No, please.
I mean,
not 2 years in a row.
It's a possibility. No. It could happen, but I don't think they'll make that mistake again.
So
never been harder to be an all-star, I think, as a guard.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, but
never.
East is pretty tough too, though. So I mean, but enough about that. We talked a little Warriors today. We got the rematch, Warriors and Cavs. You know, they played on Christmas Day. Warriors had a double-digit lead. The Cavs came back. Richard Jefferson had some signature moments. What do you guys expect today?
I'm thinking another close game, but I'm just loving how. Like, they always try to get, like, it seems like Klay Thompson, they want to get, the media tries to get something out of him.
And he's the one who'll say something stupid, to be honest.
Yeah, he's always just so raw. Like, he drinks a beer in a press game conference. Like, I love that. But I think what he said, he said that what they did at the cookies or whatever, when they said RIP to, like, the Warriors and, like, the 3-1 comeback, they were making fun of him at a Halloween party. And Klay was just like, yeah, that's immature. And so, like, that's not even
coming
that
from
big
a guy
of a deal.
That said that LeBron, that this is a man's game.
Yeah, and I was just like, that's not that big of a deal, but I just love how they try to add stuff right before the game. And then LeBron's like, this is just another game. Like, no, it's not. You know, he always does that. But
LeBron's in the business of downplaying, which is fine.
Yeah.
Okay, but I don't know. Like, this is not the Lakers and Celtics, but, you know, the 80s yet, but –
I think it's a rivalry.
Yeah, I think so. It is. Well, Kerr, I think Kerr was the one who called it a rivalry.
I mean, I'd like to see LeBron come out and be like, I'm pumped about this game. I'm not a big fan of downplaying. Like,
but you can see in LeBron might say one thing, but you can still see his emotions on the court. Like, obviously, last game when they played, it meant a lot. You saw the energy, the tenacity. Like, in the first half, it wasn't as tenacious. But in the second half, they weren't helping each other up. There was no high fives, no pats, just all, like.
True.
I'm trying to beat
you. We're here to win. Like, it's pure basketball. Like, friends, like, are not a thing. But I think that, like, I think he's just being smart about it, obviously. But I don't know. Sometimes I wish he would just, like, say something stupid. I don't know. But you want my prediction on it?
Wait for the prediction. We'll do that right at the end. Okay. Who is this game more important for?
Oh, my God. I have to say the Cavs because even though – they did beat them. They beat the Warriors last time. I think like 90% of people, the Warriors would still be the favorite to win the title. They're 34-6. They're all playing well. Steph's like doing everything perfect, like with fitting in with KD and everything. I think even though the Cavs brought in Korver and that was a really good pickup, I think it's more important for the Cavs.
Yeah, what about you, Harris?
Yeah, you know what? I think, you know, me and Nick have pointed to, you know, the Cavs potentially being in the Warriors' head. I don't know if we're at that point right now, but losing three straight and then losing on Christmas, the 14-point lead, I don't think they want this to be a story. They don't want to have to answer those questions. They're at home. They've won 34 of their first 40 games. And, you know, I don't think they want to have to drop this one and then potentially have to go into the finals rematch with five straight L's, including both losses this season. I don't really think it's that important for either of the teams, but, you know, because the Cavs are also at the top of the East. But I'm gonna have to lean towards the Warriors on this one, just because of, you know, the potential 5-game losing streak and just trying to clear their, you know, exercise those finals demons, get a nice win. You know, everyone will be watching now tonight on TNT, national TV. I think I'm going to lean towards being slightly more important to the Warriors, but either way, I don't think it's a tragic L for either of the two clubs.
I'm going to disagree. I think this is an important game for the Warriors. You know, you talked about them getting the Cavs getting in their head. Like you said, that'd be 5 straight losses to the Cavs. You know, they're supposed to be this super team. And, you know, if they lose to them again, especially in the fashion where they blow late lead, it would definitely not help them. And especially in a rematch, you know, it would be in the back of their head. You know, obviously blowing the 3-1 lead is already going to be in the back of their head. So I think this is a game the Warriors need to get. The Cavs haven't been great lately. I think they had like 2 losses last week, games they should have probably won. So
What do you think's worse for the Warriors or Cavs, I guess? Like, you think getting dominated like all game and eventually just getting blown out, or
well, if it's a blowout, I think it has the least value to either team. Because, you know, it's just like the other team didn't play up to their standards. If it's like a True. Close game and it's like wire to wire and one team pulls out down the stretch, I think that's worse.
You think that if they let the late game lead slip, that's a lot worse than getting blown out.
Yeah, like a blowout to me isn't as bad because, like, you know, the team didn't come to play. You know they're not playing their best game, so we blew them out. Like, the Warriors blew out the Cavs, I think, last year, like, 2 times. Yeah. It didn't really matter, so. Yeah.
I guess that's true because, like, at late game, if you're, like, up 14 and you let it go, like, you had the lead, you were about to win, and then you just, like, let it slip.
Even, like, a 6 or 8-point lead down, like, 3 minutes in the fourth quarter and you blow that type of lead,
yeah,
and you just like don't execute down the stretch, I think that's really detrimental.
But that's true.
So I mean, I think the Warriors are going to come out with some juice, and they really want this game
at home. They have the best home fans. I don't know. I think it's
Their arena gets very loud
when they play at home. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So I mean, you give their fans a lot of credit.
Yeah.
It's a good doubleheader too. Thunder and late and Clippers too.
Yeah.
And that's
CP3 playing tonight? I think he is, right?
Yeah, he should be. Obviously, okay. Blake is still out, but, you know, it's a good matchup with OKC. They're not quite as talented as the Clippers when the Clippers are 100%, so I'm excited to watch this matchup too.
Yeah.
But predictions for Warriors-Cavs?
I'm going – I'll take the Warriors. I'll take them by 5. Trip dub from KD tonight. And Warriors win by 5.
Harris?
Matt trying to make up for his some incorrect NFL predictions over the weekend.
Stop.
What did he do? I don't want to know.
No, what he was just incorrect on the who'd you have winning that?
I think I took the pack. Come on. I think – let me
– No, that's all that matters, then. I don't care,
Matt. Hold on.
Yeah, he'll double check it. But I'm gonna go with the Warriors by I think they'll be all right by 8 or 10. I think this is going to be close throughout and entertaining ball game. And I think within the last couple of minutes, Warriors will start to separate themselves. But it's going to be good action. I think you know, with Korver now in the rotation, I think it's going to be interesting to see. You know, a lot of people believe that move was to kind of offset some of the things the Warriors do. So I think I'm interested to see how Korver plays tonight, and I like the Warriors by about 8.
Yeah, I think this one is going to come down right to the stretch. I think we're going to get a gift today. We're going to celebrate Martin Luther King Day, right? And I feel like we're getting a buzzer beater in this one. I think the Warriors are going to pull it out. They're going to pull out a close game. It's either going to be a buzzer beater or a game winner at some point late. A late shot's going to put them ahead. I think it's going to be a really good game.
Can I clear myself here on the NFL?
Yes.
Okay, I checked. I had Packers by 4, Chiefs by 3. So it wasn't terrible.
What about the other 2 games?
Oh, I didn't pick the other 2, but you did pick Pats by 27. So
I mean, close.
You were 3-1. You went 3-1. So
oh, what's this where I get wrong?
You got the let's see.
Oh, wait.
All right, you went 4-0. Never mind.
Thank you.
The Texans, quick shout out to the NFL real quick. The Texans, I thought, played that game pretty well. They were in that until Brock threw that pick. You know, they definitely – I was in Connecticut, Stanford, when I was watching that game in a bar. A lot of New England fans, and I could sense that everyone was starting to get really nervous when the game got close.
Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, that guy just stole – he should be in prison for stealing the money that he stole. But
I mean, they – Yeah, you're right. You got to give him credit because everyone, even on TV, it's like Patriots by 14, Patriots blowout. That's all you heard. So,
oh, actually, Matt, you were also 2-2, Matt.
Why?
You said Seahawks by 3.
Oh, dang.
So, you know, Nick, I don't know. You guys interested in some con? We'll do some conference championships also. But I was 4-0 in the week. Matt was 2-2. So, you know where our NFL prowess is now.
I took Packers as a Bears fan, so that took a lot. But
yeah,
I appreciate that, Matt.
You know what? Shout out. You just got to be realistic with yourself sometimes.
Yeah,
it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be.
It's a win for the division. It's a win for the division. You could be like, well, we play with the Super Bowl division.
I don't know. I can't. I just can't.
Hey, I also was in an interesting debate with my dad yesterday. And Nick, I got to ask you a question on this one. And I think it plays into, you know, basketball also when, you know, you see a team eliminate you in the playoffs. Let's just say, for instance, I know you're very anti-Knicks. So the Nets, you know, we could do the Nets-Knicks thing, or we could do, you know, I guess any other team that you dislike in the NBA. But is it the team that beats you that you're rooting for if they're playing against your rival, or do you have to always root against your rival?
It depends on the hate. I mean, like, for me, for example, if the Knicks had beaten the Nets, I would for 100% be hoping that the Knicks lose in the next round.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
let's say also, if the Celtics beat the Nets in crushing fashion in 7 on a buzzer beater, then their next opponent is the Knicks.
I would probably still root for the Celtics.
Oof. Tough.
That's always
tough. Well, that's also because I have, like, a little extra hate just because I have to deal with New York fans.
Right.
So, like, in the NFL, it's like – I mean, like, if I was a Cowboys fan now, I'd probably hate Green Bay. Mm. You know, last 2 times we were in the playoffs, they knocked us out. And then for the Giants, like, when I talked to Giants fan this week, a lot of the Giants fans were rooting for Green Bay to beat Dallas.
Yeah.
That seems to always come up too, right? Like,
yeah. Yesterday I was kind of indifferent. I mean, listen, I'm not – obviously, you know, I'm anti-Cowboys, but – this team did end our season, though.
But yeah,
we had a little bit of a mental edge towards the Cowboys with beating them twice in the regular season. This is a team that ended our season. So, although it was kind of nice to see the Cowboys win, I didn't get like a thrill out of it or a high, maybe like some Giants fans did. But it's always interesting, like for me, like because that is a team that, you know, ended your hopes, and now you have to want them to win again. I don't know. It's
kind of like a win-win situation though for you in a way, because like one of the teams you want to lose is going to lose regardless.
Yeah.
So it's just like,
and I feel like sometimes you go into a game and you tell yourself like, no, I don't care who wins, but you secretly you're rooting for a certain team on certain plays to make the plays.
Yeah. Or like you always have an interest.
Yeah. You're going to root like one way or the other. There's no way you can watch a sports game and be so neutral that you do not care at all.
Well, what's funny is that sometimes a fan comes along. I won't say any names. that makes you want to it's bad. They're like,
yeah.
Obviously, like my sister's boyfriend is like a big Cowboys fan. Like, I don't want to like see him like upset, but like sometimes it's a way a certain person
when they talk mad shit and they're like, right.
It's the way they carry themselves. I mean,
you're secretly hoping like, yeah, that was for that one person.
Yeah. Well, you just want to see them catch as many owls as possible. You want to see them turn into Meek Mill.
Well, exactly. That's why I like dislike the Knicks. It's not because of the Knicks. Obviously, they make a ton of terrible decisions. But the fans, like, they'll be, like, talking, like, so crazy after they, like, get in the playoff race. And they'll be like, oh, one player away from a Eastern Conference championship. We're going to beat the Cavs this year. Or, like, they'll just talk mad shit to me about the Nets. And I'm just like, yo, you guys haven't done anything in so long. So, like, sit down.
There's always, like, times where if people talk mad crap on, like, Twitter, Facebook or something about their team or, like, certain teams.
That takes it to a new level.
Yeah, that definitely – because I like to see them after the game, how either they're really silent or they're, like, foots in their mouth or they jump on the bandwagon. You have 3 choices.
Yeah. Or they'll just start bashing their own team. They'll start bashing their own team.
Oh, man, I knew it. I knew it the whole time they're going to lose. No, like, said before the game, like, they're going to win by 14. So.
Well, you know what – and I want to bring up like a Skip Bayless here, but
oh god!
Also, like
I was so happy they lost because the Packers beat the Cowboys because of Skip Bayless, and Aaron Rodgers had the clutch play because he's always throwing so much shade at Rodgers.
Like, yeah, it's like you start like whether it's the media or whether it's a friend you know, I'm obviously like I was neutral, but it starts creating this you know it's this hate, and then I don't want any hate in my heart, but.
And I like how Shannon says Skip talks about the Cowboys and Patriots like they're his kids. Yeah. That drives me absolutely insane. Like, he's my Cowboys. No, you have nothing to do with the Cowboys. You don't own them. You don't play for them. They're not your team. So you can like them, but they're not your team. So it was nice to see Skip.
We're already giving Skip too much airtime, though.
Yeah,
so
he doesn't deserve
this. But that wraps it up for today, guys. Great show. Matt, thanks for hopping on.
Thanks, Matt.
No problem. Can I just say one thing before we wrap it up? Like you talked about earlier, Harris, for the Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
I think it's important, not only what he did, like you said, for the black community, but everyone in general. He just spread so much love, and he did it without violence. And it takes incredible courage to stand up for what you believe in, especially in a time that like his back was against the wall. And I just want to give him a lot of credit, and hopefully we have issues today, but I think we're going to be okay. And just take what MLK did and keep his memory living on, because it's very important.
Good stuff, Matt. That was very good.
Yeah, very well said, Matt.
And that's a great note to end the show.